Hebrews 13 says in verse number 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." He's talking about ministers. "Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Amen. Whose faith follow. Notice he's talking about people, humans, not necessarily in this case talking about God, although these people are serving God, you understand. But he's saying, follow these people. Follow their faith. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Did you see that? And so we talk about following the Lord, and rightly so. How many of you know if you're going to follow somebody's faith, you better be able to look over their shoulder and see Jesus? But yeah, right on the other hand, he's saying here, follow these people of faith. Follow their faith. Follow their faith. Not necessarily their personality or something in the natural, but their faith. And then we've got verses like, you can turn to this one. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 4, and we're going to read verses 14 through 16. It talks about a similar situation here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 16, that I write these things not to shame you. He's talking to the church there at Corinth, where he had raised this church up. I don't write these things to shame you. He had been pretty straight with them. But as my beloved sons, I warn you. He's calling them his spiritual sons. And he said in verse 15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ. You know, churches back there were huge. You got 10,000 instructors. How many members do you have? Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel. Then he said in verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Here's God. This is inspired scripture. And God inspires Paul to say to these people, as a spiritual father, be ye followers of me. Amen. Amen. A man. That's foreign to a lot of people. But it's not just the man, it's their faith. It's their character. It's their walk with God, what they've learned from God. And he's telling them to follow him in that. Amen. Like I said, you need to be able, if you're going to follow somebody, you need to be able to look over their shoulder and see Jesus. And then you need to be seeing that they're following Jesus. Then we've got verses like Hebrews 6:12. It says in Hebrews 6:12, it talks about through be not slothful, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Yeah. Imitators of them, these people of faith. Yeah. Amen. Imitators of a man. Right. Imitators of somebody walking by faith. You know, people, we can read the Bible sometimes and miss what it really does say. People say, well, I don't need anybody. I just need the Lord. I just follow the Lord. Oh, really? Well, then that means there'll be somebody in your life that you see Jesus in that you'll be following. Now, don't misunderstand me. Not just them. If they veer, you have to still see Jesus and you have to still follow Jesus. But yet, right on the other hand, it's not unscriptural for us to see God in others and model our, and let them model that character or that faith or that love walk or that love for God or that putting God first or whatever. And it's not wrong for us to follow their example. Remember, Paul told Timothy, we'll look at this later, I think, but he said, be an example of the believers in love, in faith, and all these things. In other words, being an example means in front of them, model the character. That the fruit of the Spirit and so forth, is model faith. Why? Because somebody's watching. Because somebody's watching. Amen. We've got to begin to see ourselves as an example. And I want to talk to dads this morning. I want to talk to all men this morning. Of course, there's things in this the women can get too, because it's a spiritual principle, not a gender thing. But yet, right on the other hand, but I want to zero in on fathers because that's what God's been talking to me in the last couple of weeks. He said, when you get to Father's Day, address some of this. And so I want to talk specifically to fathers. But the thing is that sometimes we look at our own insufficiencies and we disqualify ourselves, really, in our own minds because of we're aware of our certain things that we don't feel like we measure up to. We might see our own insufficiencies, our own inabilities, and wished we had received some more things from our own father. Maybe we had an absentee father, and he wasn't there to model character or to model faith or commitment to God or love for God or putting him first or... You know what I'm talking about? How to treat a woman or anything like that. How to raise children. Maybe he wasn't there. And so we have some of these. We have a sense of insufficiency. And we disqualify ourselves in our own mind and think we can't. And we think we're deficient and ill-equipped for the job. To be a father to our own natural children. Or I'm talking also about other young men, young people that are around that don't have somebody as a male figure to speak into their life and to be that kind of a father to them. And because maybe they're being raised by a single mom or something like that. You understand? And that male influence needs to be there. And so I'm not just talking about being a natural father, or am I talking about just fathering your natural children? I'm talking about raising them and teaching them and training them and, you know, modeling character and so forth. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about all younger ones coming up that are younger than us. I'm not talking about drawing them to, you know, like a young boy in the church. Maybe he's, being raised by a single mom. Maybe doesn't have the father in his home or something like that. I'm not just talking about, drawing them to yourself away from their pastor. But yet, right on the other hand, helping us disciple some of these people. Amen. You've got things on the inside of you. You can impart. You understand? So that's what I want to share with you this morning and talk to you about. Many men might consider themselves an able father naturally. You know, you can teach children natural things and so forth and so on. But a lot of men, when it comes to being a spiritual example, to them in their minds, that's a whole nother deal. I'm not a spiritual person. Well, it's time, because God's calling some of us to step up. Yeah. And it's time for men to be spiritual and to model spiritual things in front of the younger ones coming up. Amen. 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 And that doesn't just mean, you know, like somebody said one time about what is not a good father. A good father doesn't sit in his lazy boy and tell his son, don't do drugs, don't smoke, or don't drink, or anything like that. Could you pass me my cigarettes, please? You know, we've used that example before. That's not modeling what you're saying. Show them by precept and example. Say example. Amen. Really, Jesus said in John 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Spiritual fathering is not complete until someone can say, if you've seen me, you've seen my dad. You've seen the one that brought me up spiritually. Amen. Spiritual fathering is not complete until what is in the dad is in the son.
Amen.
The faith, the commitment to God, the right thinking. And so it's important that we realize as fathers in the natural or as somebody who's helping younger ones come up spiritually, it's important that we realize somebody's watching us. Somebody's paying attention to us. Remember, it says there, King James says, be ye followers of God, be ye followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It says in Ephesians, be imitators of God as dear children. King James says followers. Greek says be imitators. That's what little children do, don't they? Years ago when my nephew was just, 7 years old or something, I was over at my brother's house, and my brothers always, all of us boys were raised hunting and being outside and all that. So we just kind of were raised that way. And so my brother's like that himself. I mean, he just came back from a week and a half safari over in Africa and killed about 7 different animals and paid for it, but he enjoyed it. Amen. And so, but that's always been in our family. But I was over there at my brother's house years ago. He's still only about 7 years old. Now he's adult and, you know, father himself. But anyway, but I was over there and I looked out the window and here's my little nephew. He's got a little toy bow and arrow and he's sneaking up on squirrels, you know. I thought, I know where he got that. I know where he got that. He's an imitator of his father. Well, that's natural things, but know this, that whatever's in your, whatever you yield to in your home, whatever spirit, whatever attitude, whatever lifestyle you yield to, that your children are going to start modeling that. They're going to start imitating that. I told someone one time, I said, you know, there was a person I was helping in some areas of sexual purity and staying clean and so forth, and they were struggling in some areas, and I told him, I said, listen, you might think, because your children don't know this, that you're yielding to won't get off on them. I said, but this is not a matter of whether they know it or not. It's a matter of what spirit's in this house. Yes. Same thing that you're yielding to, it'll start afflicting them. It'll start, because you're the open door to it. You're the authority in this home. Oh, the shouting makes me want to preach that. Amen. When the authority in the home opens the door to something other than the Spirit of God, it'll start oppressing all those in that home. If they yield to it. Amen. Well, see, God's been dealing with me about coming up into this role myself because he's called me to it. And others are starting to come and say, you know, would you speak into my life spiritually? And young people in the church and young ministers, people that have a sense of call to ministry here and other places, you know, they start seeing you. There's something in you. They see something godly. They see integrity. They see somebody that's been faithful. They see somebody that's got a good reputation and has longevity, and you know, they see somebody that's stable, and then they see somebody that's stable, and they want somebody to speak into their lives as a spiritual father. They see something they respect. You know, I'm talking about spiritual things. And so they're looking for someone to believe in them. They're looking for someone who they respect and trust in the ministry to help them along. Now, I realize there's some that don't want that. I realize that. You know, how many of you know Elisha had to go after Elijah, not the other way around?
Yeah, that's right.
In other words, the spiritual son had to pursue what he wanted from his daddy, not his daddy pursuing him to give it to him. Am I making any sense? Hallelujah. So, you know, we understand there's another side to this. And so a true spiritual son, though he pursues his father and you know, lets his father have a voice into his life. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That no one else is given into his life. Others might be a teacher, but not the father. Amen. That's a true spiritual son. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. He's given that man or that person authority to say some things that no one else has been given. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not talking about the necessity of spiritual sons to respond that way. This morning, I'm talking about the willingness, us as men, for us to give ourselves to being a father. Because it takes time. It takes attention to these young ones. And you might rather be doing some other things sometimes. But the rewards are eternal. You're sowing into somebody's life, whether it be your natural children or somebody else. Somebody's life, that their entire eternal destiny is determined by somebody was there to help them over that situation right there that enables them to stay on the path God had for them. Oh, yes, you better believe it. You're sowing eternal seed when you sow into a person. And I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about being there to counsel and give wisdom and give guidance and nurture them and be tender with them and lovingly move them along. And if needed, correction or whatever's needed. Oh, I wish I had some more shouting this morning. So we need to have that kind of willingness to talk about spiritual things with younger ones. Now, sometimes natural things sort of helps that along, you understand, something they enjoy. But yet, right on the other hand, let's just not get all caught up in the natural things. And these kids grow up, and they haven't had anybody speak into them about this, really what's important. Amen. So, be willing to talk about the Word. Be willing. I said, be willing. To walk in front of them as an example. Don't be the kind of person that says, well, I don't need about other people. It doesn't matter. I just what I want to do. No, it matters. What the legacy that you leave behind is going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Did you just live for yourself, or was there something left on the earth? Somebody's got some faith in them. Somebody's got some godly character in them. Somebody's got some integrity in them because you took the time to put it in them. Those things are important to God. God's a multi-generational God. He's not just looking at giving you, building your faith and so forth and so on. Whatever He gives you, He's asking you to pass it on. Paul said to his spiritual son, the thing you've seen in me among many, he said, be thou an example of those things also. Amen. Impart to other people also. Amen. Everything we've got, it should be imparted to somebody else. You learn something about walking with God, find somebody to impart it to. Number one, with your own natural children. Amen. It's not enough they live in your house and you give them enough food to eat, enough warm bed to, that's important. Don't misunderstand me. Provide for them well. But yet, right on the other hand, that's not enough. They need to not grow up in home where mom and daddy had a relationship with God, but they've never learned to have a relationship with God. They never learned to walk by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, so it's important. Tell your neighbor, these are important issues. The Bible says that I will feed you, this is in Isaiah, I'll feed you with the heritage of your fathers. Hallelujah. That's spiritual things that we get to enter into as a result of somebody who went before us making a deposit into our lives. Yes. Amen. Amen. Somebody who was like a father figure. You know, I think of Elijah and Elisha a lot when I think about this. And Elijah, well, actually, I believe it was Elijah. Yeah, it was Elijah. But there was he had some spiritual sons. There was one of them that was cutting down a tree. Remember, they were building a new wing, or really a new dormitory for the Bible school. And they were cutting down a tree. And one guy, he was cutting down a tree, and the axe head flew off into the water, you remember? Yes. Now, back then, that's like your... that's like your chainsaw. That's even more than your chainsaw. That's all your logging equipment went into the water and you can't get it back out. So that's expensive. They didn't have all that kind of stuff like we are so commonly familiar with today. And so he said, alas, my father. He's talking about his spiritual father. He said it was borrowed. In other words, it wasn't even his. I mean, he's got to pay that off, you know. Because you get, muddy, dirty pond and you don't have all the scuba equipment like today. It's a big deal to try to find that. You can't do metal detectors or anything. So he said, where'd you throw it in? I mean, excuse me, where did it come off? Where did it fall in? And so he said, right there. And so he threw a stick out in the water. Remember that? And the axe head did swim. I don't know if it was the backstroke or which stroke it was doing, but it was. In other words, it floated to the top. And he reached out there and got it. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, that axe head is a type of the gifts and calling of God that is on the human. The stick is a human. This represents the human. The axe head represents the supernatural on the human. Yes. And listen, there's some places and some things that some young people need. They need the input of a spiritual father, because some of them, their axe head flew off of their human. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? And if somebody doesn't show them where it is and pick it up and get it put back on their human, they're going to live human the rest of their life without fulfilling their call. Am I making any sense? So spiritual fathers are huge. They keep the supernatural flow going in your life. Hallelujah. So be willing to model character. Be willing to talk about, like I did in the offering, I talked to illustrate, okay, here's what happened, and here's what we did about it. Yeah. And here's why. Here's what the word says. Do that to your children. Hallelujah. I said, do that to your children. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, whenever it's sports season and you don't keep them in church, you're not modeling or teaching them the word. And sometimes young people spiritually don't recognize what's happening. They just think, well, they'll love God like I love God later on. No, they won't. No, they won't. I don't even need to prophesy to predict that. You're teaching them that sports is more important than being where God's people gather together and learn spiritual things. I'm predicting without even having the spirit of prophecy some children that won't turn out in this church. Don't speak that over my children. You're the one doing it. Reverse it, and I won't say it anymore. But as it is, as things are going, that's the direction your children are going to go. You don't bring them to youth group. You don't bring them to youth camp. You don't bring them to, you let them decide these things. They want to be in sports, so you take them out of church. Who's fathering who here? Who's teaching who here? God didn't give you children for them to teach you. You're the one to teach them. Well, they don't want to. So what? So what? There's a lot of things I didn't want to do as a child, but I didn't have a vote. My home was not a democracy. It was parent ruled. That doesn't mean they were mean. They were very loving. They were, you know, it takes more than just direction. I mean, it takes more than just discipline. It takes direction. It takes love. It takes nurturing. There's a lot that has to go into it. But yet, right on the other hand, it takes some straight talk sometimes. Well, all my friends are doing it. Well, they're not the ones that God gave to for you to be parented. They're not your parents. God gave you to me to parent you. And so your friends, how your friends, parents parent them, that's their business. My business is how I parent you, because God gave you to me, not to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, everybody that's still happy you came, shout a little bit. Yeah, you could get off looking to a man, but yet right on the other hand, God gives us people. Isn't that right? As an example to follow. And so really, he's the source of this, because all real fathering comes from the Father God. We wouldn't know how to do it if it wasn't for God. But a true spiritual father will encourage his sons to have his own walk with God. But yet, right on the other hand, and he's going to encourage him to not depend on just the father. Yet, right on the other hand, until he gets to that point, the father is going to carry him in spiritual things. Somebody said, when am I done training my children? Whenever they do it without you telling them. Now it's internalized. Well, they're 21 years old living in my house and they're still not doing it. Well, guess what, honey? You ain't done.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Mom and daddy, you ain't done.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because it's not yet in them.
Right.
Whenever they're doing it in that area, they're doing something right in line with the way you've trained them, and they're doing it consistently.
Amen.
Now they've got the training.
Yep.
Now let's move on to something else.
Yep.
Yep. Amen. Yep. Well, they just don't do it. They just don't do it. You're not done that.
That's right.
Amen. I don't care if your child's 18 years old, 19 years old, still living in your house. You can still whoop them. There's more to it than whoopings. There's direction. There's nurturing. There's love. You don't understand. I'm not just one-sided on it. But yet, right on the other hand, don't ever let your child get to the place you can't whoop them if they're in your house. If they're in your house. Some of you don't like this, I can tell, but praise the Lord. Impart that you ought to have the greatest influence on your children, greater than anything, greater than the teachers down at the school, greater than their friends, greater than culture, greater than what's on TV, what they're watching on the internet. You're to have a greater influence on them, because God didn't give them to culture to raise them. He gave them to you to raise them. And even I'll say this, greater than the church.
Yep, come on, come on.
Yeah. I can only be with you 2 hours a week.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Or so.
Yes, sir. Come on.
You know? But you're with them day in and day out. You're they're sleeping in your house. You know what I'm talking about? You're to have a greater influence on them than anything else. The Bible said, and what is it? I don't remember the reference, but I think it's Proverbs 29, somewhere in Proverbs 29. It talks about a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. Left to himself means left to learn all these lessons without the input of his parents. There's no such thing as absentee parenting or passive parenting. Parenting is a very present help in the time of trouble. Parenting is a very active thing, not a passive thing. Well, I'm just modeling it in front of them and they'll just follow it. No, you model them and you train them. Train doesn't mean teach. Train means, okay, do it this way. Don't do it that way. Do it this way. Don't say that. We don't bring those words into our house. Amen. Train, model, and train. And so it's important that we not just kind of leave it to them getting it by osmosis.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. They're not going to learn all of it on their own.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
It's just like imparting spiritual things, just like natural things. How well is a child going to learn natural things without an adult to teach them?
Yeah.
Not very well. Not very well. Same thing with spiritual things. You see, in a more carnal state, young ones, naturally or spiritually, but I'm talking spiritually, they're in a more carnal state, and therefore in that carnal state, they're going to respond more to somebody they can see and hear with their natural ears. You understand? And they're going to do better in the state they're in by being trained by a physical person they can physically hear and see. Because they're not listening down in here yet. You understand? They're not yet learning the word because they meditate on it in the morning. Amen. So they're in that state, they're gonna get things that they would never get by just listening to God themselves. But they're gonna get it through somebody they can hear, somebody they can see, a physical person to bring them up. Amen? And if that physical person isn't there in the natural, they just don't get a lot of things. Same thing spiritually. There's just a lot of things people won't get unless there's a natural person there to tell them. See, there's a lot of people looking for nurturing and guidance and acceptance from somebody they can believe in. And God will give them that in the natural, somebody they can see, you know, a person, a human, because he knows in that state that's the only way they're going to get it. We're not replacing God. We're just mirroring God and pointing them to God and teaching them what God has taught us. Amen. It's vital that we realize the importance of this call to speak into younger ones' lives. I'm talking about your natural children, of course, but then others sometimes. Amen. Don't ever underestimate the need that's out there. Natural children call out for it. Sometimes they act like they don't want it. But really they do. They know they got to grow up and be responsible. Isn't that right? And so they're calling out for it. And the need is real. And it's staggering out there. The need for some adults to speak into younger people's lives. The problem today in most homes is it's kids raising kids. It's people that never grew up. Naturally, emotionally, mentally, socially. You know, their minds are not renewed to the things of God, and certainly they haven't grown up spiritually. And they're raising the next generation. That's enough to make you go hide in a hole if you don't have the faith of God on the inside of you. Because we got a bunch of brats being raised in our culture today. Amen. Feel entitled to everything. Getting participation trophies and for something they didn't achieve anything in. Amen. But it needs to be different in our home. In our you know, influence where people are coming up under us. So it's important. Hallelujah. Years ago, there's a story, I believe it's a true story. A young father and his son got separated because of things that happened in the home. Whatever, I don't know the story, what happened. But the young son guy said, that's it, I've had it. I don't remember how old he was, teenager. But he ran off and his father didn't know where he went and all lost track of him. This is over in Spain. It happened over in Spain. And so the father began a process, because I think he was wrong as much as the son was wrong. He began a process of looking for his son. And he, you know, tried to find out from his friends and all that. And he lost track and couldn't find him. Finally, he just got a little wind of somebody said he's down in Madrid. And so he put an ad in the Madrid newspaper that said something like this: Paco, this is your father. Meet me tomorrow at the post office at 12 o'clock. He said, all is forgiven. Your father. So 12 o'clock tomorrow, he goes down to the post office and 800 Pacos show up looking to be reconciled to their father. That's the need. That's the magnitude of the need in our culture. That's how important that is, that we are willing to take time and speak into younger ones and bring them up and minister acceptance to them, nurturing to them, believe in them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you getting anything out of this? So the need is great. Remember over in John 5:7, there was a man that Jesus, he was sitting at the pool of Bethesda, and he said, wilt thou be made whole? And he said, I have no man. He was looking for somebody to help him get in the water when it was stirred by that angel. You remember? He said, I have no man. Well, there's a lot of people looking for a man. Now, don't misunderstand me. Ultimately, they need to get their eyes on God. Stop waiting and stop and just jump in and get their eyes on God. Yet right on the other hand, people are looking for somebody to help them get into the things of God because they don't know anything about God. Amen. And in that case, if a natural father wasn't there, God will send a substitute because of a young person's cry to God, and he'll bring them somebody in the natural who can impart into them. Amen. Somebody who can be used by God to form their spirit right and train them and prepare them for what God's called them to do. God will send them. And so that being the case, we need to be open to helping some of these young ones, even if they're not your natural blood, seed and blood. Amen. Not necessarily drawing themselves away from their pastor, drawing themselves to you, but helping us make disciples. Yes. Amen. Amen. You realize there's a lot of struggle in a lot of young lives, and the main reason is just somebody wasn't there to help get them through some things. Maybe they were living in the house, but they weren't there for them because they didn't know how to connect with them. Now, you young people, that's not an excuse for you to act out and rebel. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. There's a lot of young people who just won't make it without an adult speaking into their lives. Now, I know some don't want it. I'm not using this as just a cure-all for everything. Some young people are just rebellious. They don't want somebody to speak into their life. Well, as a natural parent, you have the authority to deal with that.
That's right. Amen.
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 But I'm not talking about that side. I'm talking about what I said. Remember, the father's being willing to speak into some young people.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, the thing that we need to look at here before we go any further is Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1, I believe, if I wrote that down right. If there's somebody that you can see Christ in, it's okay for you to want to learn from them. You don't have to get everything directly from God. If you're crying out for that, go after it. But you ones who are more mature in the church this morning, be sensitive to what you're to be speaking into some of these others' lives. You might have this sense of, I just don't have what it takes. Stop talking about yourself that way. Amen. Start saying, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. See, it's a faith issue. I said it's a faith issue.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And so I was a young person and I had nobody to nurture me along. I don't mean my dad wasn't there for some things, but I'm talking about with spiritual things and about the call that was on my life. I'm just saying he didn't have the ability at the time. He's grown a lot since. We have a good relationship. But at the time, he just didn't know how to help. He didn't know how to nurture that call. He was there in many ways for me. But as far as that, I didn't have somebody to help me spiritually and nurture that call in my life. And so I had to learn to go to God on my own and not necessarily rely on, a person. You understand? And out of necessity, I was cast over on the Lord. I had to learn to go to God. Now, I thank God for it. I mean, to this day, it helps me a whole lot. When nobody else just seems to be able to help, I know where I can get help. And really, a spiritual father is not there to do everything for the son. He's there to train him and nurture him and teach him to have his own relationship with God. And that's the right way to do it. But I got weaned, as a young man, I got weaned off of looking to men. Humans. I'm talking about humans. Amen. But that didn't mean I developed some lone ranger spirit where, you know, nobody can speak into my life. That wasn't my heart at all. That's not right either. I'm just saying I didn't have somebody that was there. And so I, out of necessity, I was cast over on the Lord. And I responded to that, and I pressed in to learn to know him. But then God did bring men and women into my life to nurture me spiritually and nurture that call and that anointing on my life and begin to help me and impart unto me.
Amen.
And I responded to that like a, woo-hoo, yeah, I'll take that.
Amen.
With Brother Hagin, it wasn't a close kind of personal thing, but then he brought Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy.
Yeah.
And how much further along I am because somebody began to nurture me and began to speak into my life. And that's something that we need to be all willing to do. Maybe not to the degree as a pastor or a minister or something like that, but we need to all be willing to do for younger ones in some degree.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
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 There's many out there that are calling out for it. Maybe they don't verbalize it. Maybe they don't know how. Have you ever noticed young people don't know how to verbalize what they really want to say? But it's in there. I said it's in there.
Yes.
I had a young man, in fact, just thinking about it, almost weep, gave me a card. I think it was over Christmas time here in the church. Young man, not. I won't embarrass him, but, and he said, raised by a single mom, faithful mom in this church. And I'm telling you, this young man is as precious as can be. And he gave me a card. I think it was at Christmas time. If I'm wrong, I apologize. I think that's when it was. And he thanked me for some things. And then he said, can you take me hunting? Can you teach me to go hunting? I began to weep. You might say, because you want to go hunting? That's not what I heard. That is not what I heard. I didn't hear a young man want to go hunting. I heard a young man that wants somebody to speak into his life as a man. And I've told him a number of times, you go ask your mama.
Yeah.
And he asked his mama, and she said, yes. I said, well, we going, don't you forget.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They're out there. They're hungry.
Yes. Amen.
They need us.
Yes.
And we're willing. Tell your neighbor, I'm willing to step up. Because there's some people calling out for some of these things. The need is staggering in our culture. Just staggering. This is one of the great failures in our culture right now. The great thing that is needed. So God's going to place people in your life that'll help you along, young people. You have to respond to it. It might be your natural father. There's a lot of good natural fathers in here, and they'll help you with spiritual things as well. But in cases like I just described, it might not be there. So that person might not be there. But let's be willing to step up. Guys, what do you say?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's work. It takes time. You might rather be doing some other things. But how much more valuable a life and somebody reaching their eternal destiny.
Yes.
because somebody was unselfish and said, yeah, I'll take time with you. I'll train you in some things and teach you about how to do this or that, or how to, you know, live life and how to be a good man, good husband, good, you know, father or something like that. That's changing their destiny. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying this. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. So let's be willing to fulfill that in our lives. What do you say, man? Now, a lot of times ministers of the gospel might be called on to, be this kind of thing. Because, you know, Dad Hagin talked about pastors. They're like the daddy of the church, you know. And that's really what Paul's talking about whenever he said, follow me, you know, as I follow Christ. And so there's quite a role a pastor will play like that. And it's not all, a pastor can't be, you know, there for everybody in the natural all the time. But just being in church is one way that happens. But then there's times we'll take time with individuals more on a personal basis. But all of us, the point I'm making this morning is all of us need to be willing to speak into the next generation. Yes. Amen. Amen. Whenever I was growing up in the church that I grew up in, anybody in the church, if they saw me and that I needed it, they had the right to whoop me. I was raised by my parents, and they mainly took care of everything. But yet, right on the other hand, other people had permission. Isn't that right? Some of you just gulped real hard, but especially the young people. Amen. What I'm saying is we all need to step up and help the next generation. If not whoop them, at least take them to their mama and say, uh-huh, I caught him doing this. And you parents, don't you get all offended. You ought to be glad somebody's helping you out. Just because you weren't watching, maybe God's helping you. Ooh. Well, everybody's still happy they came. Here's some things spiritual fathers will provide for those coming up to the next generation. Number one, a godly example. Like we said, Paul told Timothy, he said, be an example of the believers. 1 Timothy 4, 12 and 13. Be an example of the believers. Example of what? Example of godly character. You know, if they see you flying off the handle and cussing whenever something doesn't go your way, well, you just set an example for them. Don't be surprised if they start doing the same thing, because they're watching. And if you do that, to be honest with you, repent to them. Amen. So be a godly example. Be an example of doing the word. How about this? Living holy. An example of living right. How about this? An example of having a prayer life. I found that dads, especially homes where dads have prayer lives, and I don't mean a little pull the promise out of the promise box kind of prayer life. I mean, they have fellowship with God, that they have prayer times. There's something different about the children that come out of that home. I've noticed the pattern. I've noticed the after a while in the ministry, you get to see patterns. Amen. And so, men, spiritual things is not all women's work. Amen. It's not, well, I'll bring home the bacon, and then my mom and my wife will teach them about spiritual things. No. The Old Testament, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. In other words, they took the leadership in the spiritual things. The man took the leadership in spiritual things. It shouldn't be. There's too many times that the wife has to take the leadership in spiritual things. Now, listen, I'll say this, wives. If he's not, you should. Because there needs to be somebody spiritual in the home. But I'm just simply saying it shouldn't be that the wife has to be taking the lead. The man ought to be taking the lead. Amen. Because those children need that example. So being a doer of the word, being an example of doing the word, being an example of living holy. How about this? Being an example of loving God. You know, this modern day, you hear a lot of the church world as a whole talks mostly about how much God loves us and His grace and so forth. And they don't talk about man's response to that. But you go through, just go home and Google in some Bible dictionary thing, love for God, love God, or something like that, and you'll find multiple times, dozens of times in the New Testament, it talks about our response to Him and our how much we're supposed to love Him. With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and all our might. Bible says in Romans 8 that those that love God, all these things work together for good.
Yeah, that's right.
The context is also has a prayer life, prays things out in the Spirit. There's the things the Spirit gets involved with. Not everything works out if the Spirit's not allowed to be yielded to. Somebody doesn't yield to the Holy Ghost. That's verse 26 and 27. But 28 and 29, all these things, as you yield to the Holy Ghost and you love God, these things are going to work out.
Right.
Walking by faith, loving God.
Yes.
So be an example of loving God. What does that mean? You're willing to give up anything for God.
Amen.
He's first.
Yes.
He's before entertainment, recreation, sports, anything. God's first. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. Doesn't mean you can't play sport or the children can't play sports or something like that. I mean, it's good. They need some good physical exercise. They need to interact and compete with others. You know, I'm not preaching against that. I'm just simply saying, first things first. Model the love that you have for God in that you put Him first in everything. Model that in front of the children. Amen? Just model walking by faith. Model walking by faith. Hallelujah. My goodness, I just looked at the clock. It's already late. If you seek God in these areas, God will equip you with what is necessary in order for you to be a father to somebody. He'll impart things to you. Amen. So they need a good example because they're watching. They're aware of spiritual things, whether they talk about them or not. I was aware at a very young age of some oppression in our home, and I knew where it was coming from. I didn't know how to fix it. I didn't have the authority to fix it because I wasn't the authority in the home. But I was. Some of that tried to begin to mold me. Actually, I got under the oppression of it. That's why I talked about having those headaches and things. There was a lot tried to get a hold of my life. It's gone now. Praise God. I learned, grew spiritually enough to get it off of me. But somebody's watching and somebody's, you know, taken in of what's the atmosphere that's in your home, man.
Yes, yes sir. Amen.
They're looking.
That's right.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Here's something else that a godly father will bring into a son's life. He'll bring acceptance.
Yeah.
Say acceptance.
Acceptance.
Young people need acceptance. Rejection is the root of many problems in our culture. Fatherhood never projects rejection. Now, young people, if you don't understand what I'm saying, you'll think that your father has rejected you because he's correcting you. No, he's rejecting your actions, not you. Now, a good father will help a son understand the difference. I had some pastor friends of ours, one time we were in their home eating, we were preaching at their church, we were in their home eating, had young children, and the son did something, the father had to correct him, and he spanked him right there. And he said, now son, he said, you knew better than to do that. He said, I love you. He said, listen to me, I like the way he said it. He said, you're not a bad boy, you're a good boy, but you did a bad thing. He wasn't rejecting him. He was rejecting those actions. That's not going to fly here. Amen. So you young people, don't go acting like you're an orphan because your parents corrected you. They're not rejecting you. They're just giving you an attitude adjustment. Amen. Amen. So, but fatherhood should never project a sense of rejection on the children. They might have to reject certain actions and they're going to have to correct them, but not the person.
Right.
Remember Romans 8, it talks about, right there in 17, 18, 19, I can't remember which verse, it talks about, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
That's right.
The Greek literally says, Daddy, Daddy. Hallelujah. Notice that the spirit of adoption makes us say, Daddy, Daddy. What is the spirit of adoption? It's the experience of taking you in and accepting you. Your family. You belong to us. We love you. You're accepted here. No rejection here. Amen. Makes us cry, Abba, Father. So fatherhood, real fatherhood, never projects a spirit of rejection. Correction is not rejection, young people. I'm almost done. Correction is not rejection. And a true father will train his son in that truth. Some will try to tell their father otherwise, but it's because they don't understand what real love is. They think it means you can just let them do anything they want. You don't know what I'm talking about? Or, they'll try to make their father think they feel rejected or something like that just because of rebellion. And there's a way to get rebellion out and teach him the truth about what real love really is so he doesn't grow up being stupid and think love just means what you feel like all the time. Well, if you love me, I wouldn't feel all hurt like this. Well, that's a choice you made. We haven't rejected you. We've rejected what you did. And the reason we can separate those things is because you can separate those things. You can separate your actions from who you are.
Yes.
And when you did bad, that's not who you were. You need to act like who you are, not the way you feel like acting.
Yeah.
We've separated those things. You separate those things. And you reject what we reject. Well, praise the Lord. But it takes a lot of affirmation of the child in order to keep them from legitimately having a sense of rejection. Because correction is not rejection. But the devil will jump on their head and say they're being rejected. And I'm not being reaffirmed here. Oh, yes, you are. You just don't know what love is. If I let you go down this path, it's either going to be the policeman that's going to deal with this, or it's going to be somebody who doesn't like you at the end of a gun dealing with this. And so I'm saving you. I'm protecting you here. I'm actually helping you. I'm bringing you along. I'm nurturing you. I'm training you. Amen. Don't let sons in their ignorance teach you. You teach and you mold their character. It needs the right balance. It needs affirmation. Isn't that right? We understand that. So a true father doesn't leave his son on his own to learn all these things. Really, to let a child on his own to learn all these things is child abuse. Because you're making them learn the hard way. How many of you know if somebody knows all about computers and you just got one and you're trying to figure it all out, the best way to learn is find out from somebody who can just tell you everything and you know it all.
Yeah.
At least what you need to know until you hit the wrong key and mess it up. And then you can call them again. Isn't it just easier to learn and you learn quicker? But somebody can say, okay, this is how you do this. This is how you do this. See this screen over here, and here's how you do that. Oh, isn't that right? So praise the Lord. People can learn a lot quicker. So impart your wisdom. Impart your affirmation. Impart your example. And here's another one. One of the things a father gives a son is stability and security. Hallelujah. Stability and security. Fathers, there needs to be stability in your homes. There needs to be a sense of safety in your homes. And that includes safety from wrong influences. Amen. That includes safety from the fear of daddy might not be here because he's kind of unstable himself. You need to have a stabilized life. Let the word stabilize you. Let the word stabilize your thinking where you're not in and out and up and down and emotional and throwing fits and then you come back and repent. Repentance is right, but eventually that's got to stop. Where you have an even keel. You are the same like your father yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Amen. pastor friend of mine this week. He always loves to have fun. He's one of my good friends. He's a lot of fun. And he's picking and nitpicking. And I said, man, you're just like God. He said, thank you. I appreciate it. I said, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. But that's true the way it needs to be for fathers in the home. That's stability. They need to also, fathers need to supply to their children nurturing. How many of you fathers want to see your children do better even than you do? You want to nurture them and take them to the place where everything they're called to, it'll all come to pass. Desires to see your sons grow to where they receive their destiny in God. They walk in their destiny. Amen? And they're always there to encourage that. They're always there to, if they need to be corrected or whatever. But see, you're bringing them into their very best. You're going to be the best you can be. No slouches here at the Eberly House. No slouches at the Kirk House or the Slaymaker House or wherever. No slouches. I mean sharp. We got sharp kids coming up. Do it. And they're sharp in spiritual things. They're sharp in following the inner witness. They're sharp in faith. They perceive whenever Satan's sending wrong influences in their life. And they don't marry wrong. And they don't do this wrong. And they don't do that wrong. Another one I'm closing up is wisdom. Wisdom. There's a lot of things you've gained from the Word, gained from God, that your child doesn't have to learn the hard way on. I'm out of time, or I'd spend a lot more time on that. Amen? Let's, as men, allow God to work this in us, this willingness. Even men, listen, can I just talk for out of my heart a little bit? You can be in the home and you're really not there. In one sense or another. You sleep there, you eat there, but you're not engaged with your children. Let's be willing. Because a lot of reasons is just, you know, people, guys, sometimes they don't think they have anything to offer. They don't know how. Well, start believing God for it. Lord, show me how to be there for my child. They come home from school and something obviously happened and, you know, they got a little attitude. Something happened. Somebody must have said something to them or something. Don't just let them stomp into the bedroom and close the door. Amen. Be there. Develop the kind of connection with them and relationship with them that they want to come to you. Because they feel like you're there. They feel like that you will help them. Not well, he's just never there. He doesn't help me. He doesn't know what to do. He's, you know, he's interested in his sports. He's always watching that on TV, and he doesn't care about me. That should never be something you project to a child. Well, praise God. Thank God for the truth. Are you willing to step up, men? Are you willing to make a mark on somebody's life that cannot be erased by culture, by the opinions of the world? Because you were there for your son. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Let's make it a goal of ours, men, that whenever our sons come up and go out into the plan of God for their life, that whenever they people talk about them, that, well, if I've seen them, I've seen their dad. Yeah. This is the way their dad acts. He's got integrity and he's got this, and I see it in their son. Yeah. Let's make that our goal. You there? Yes, men, hello? Yes, hallelujah. 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 There comes a time when God asks all of us to step up to the plate. Stop being a kid. Come on, stop being immature. And realize somebody's watching us. Realize somebody needs us. Realize somebody is calling their little hearts, calling out for somebody to speak into their lives. And I believe a lot of you here, that time has come. I'm saying that by the Spirit. To rise up and fill that role as a father. Amen. There's a lot of orphans out there. Spiritually, even naturally, some orphans out there, and they're looking for someone. Amen. Amen. They're looking for God in someone. Yes. They're looking for somebody to help stabilize their life, help their little mind, and help their thinking, and give them wisdom, and nurture them, and believe in them, and so forth and so on. Hallelujah. Model God to them. Show them the Father. God so lovingly does this for all of us, doesn't He? But there's young ones that need us to do it in flesh and blood, to be there with our flesh and blood. I've had something in my spirit for about I don't know how many years I've talked to the Warners about it, because Katie's over the daycare and for some other reasons, but that I want to start some sort of program to where little young ones in this daycare can be brought into some of the men's lives here. And just allowed to be taught. Some of these don't have fathers in their homes. But the problem we've run into is all the legalities nowadays. But we're still looking. Can you imagine taking a child whose destiny in God is over here, but they're on a totally another path, and getting them back on that and refocusing them like an arrow? Remember the Bible talks about as arrows in the hands of a mighty man, and you can get them going the right direction. That is better than eating when you're hungry, sleeping when you're tired. How fulfilling. But even without all the, you know, the maybe the you know, organization of that, let's start doing that, men. Let's start doing that. Amen.